three ways we need to prepare to be a soul winner. Spiritually, we need to be prepared. Mentally, and then physically. Tonight we're going to look at how to... Well, let me ask you, what would be the most challenging part of soul winning? I would say, if someone asked me, I would say the part I have the hardest part time with is not even going out. It's not even, hey, once you're out there, it's good. It's how do you start a conversation with someone? And that, I think if you're wise with that, and you think about that, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. How does the soul winner present the plan of salvation? We talked last week. I gave you four letters of how to maybe initiate a conversation just with someone. Maybe as you're sitting next to someone, maybe at the bank or at the doctor's office. We talk about family. We can talk about occupation. Talk about religion, and then we can talk about the message form. But tonight we're going to look a little bit more as we're going door to door and trying to, or however it is that we're soul winning. How do you start a conversation concerning the gospel? How do you create a desire to hear the gospel? Why don't we pray, and then we'll take a look at our lesson here tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, we do recognize how important it is, the gospel. And Lord, it's changed our lives. And Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom. And Lord, help us to take something from this lesson here tonight that would be a benefit and a blessing. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. My boys play. My older two boys play baseball, and that's fun. This is the 1 year actually that both my boys are playing on the same team. That's never happened before. This is Sam's last year, and it was nice that they could play. Joe got to play a second season. He played the younger group, and then he got moved up to the older group, and that's fun. We like going out. The games are Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Some of you come out and see. And it's one thing to talk about baseball. It's one thing to watch baseball. And it's one thing to maybe even read books about baseball. But where you get good is by practicing. And going out and doing it. Say, well, I'm going to make a mistake. True. No one throws a perfect pitch every time. No one knows how to handle cutoffs in the outfield and how to go home with the ball and all of that, what to do when someone's caught in between first and second until you do it. And a lot of times we're hesitant to do, I wish I was a good soul winner, but we don't put any practice in. We don't come out. We don't go out. Maybe you do on off nights or whatever, and that's good. But really the best way to implement some of these things is not just to talk about them Sunday night, but to take a gospel track. Maybe take five gospel tracks, you and your family, and you go to your neighbor's house. Hi, my name is whatever your name is. Don't use my name, use your name. And introduce yourself, and then maybe you start off by, I don't know, just starting a conversation. But if we can ask some important questions, we could get to the gospel quickly. So I wrote some of these out just because I'm going to reference those. So Sam, can you bring up the thing in the back? Can you do that? Thank you. All right. So four important questions that we're going to reference multiple times tonight. Number one, the first question is, it's kind of silly, but can I ask you a question? There you are standing at someone's door. Can I talk to you about something? Can I ask you a question? And it's going to be important to... Yeah, you can put it on the side. That's good. Thank you. It's nice as you kind of progress through these questions because each is really non-offensive in itself. But if you just came out and said, here, and then with nowhere to go with it, that's difficult. So if we can start by asking maybe some non-offensive questions, questions that will lead to other questions, well, that'll be good. Is it right side up? Oh, good. I did well in school, but never in handwriting. So I do apologize if you can't read it. I even apologize more if you can't see it. We'll do our best to put it in an angle. So the very first question is, may I ask you a question? Second question is, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure? Now, some of these words are going to be more important than, don't skip some of these. Because if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Well, this 100% for sure is important. We went to that Genesee County Fair, and Calvary has a booth, Calvary Baptist Church, and they had a booth, and there was a soul winner, and they have this display out, and it says, three things God cannot do. He can't lie, he doesn't change, and I forgot what the third one is. Amy, do you know? Can't let anyone into heaven without being saved, or something of that sort. And it's, you know, three things. And right there was a man talking to a young man about being saved. Why? Because he asked some questions that spurred a conversation. Now, at any point, and we'll talk about this, of how to graciously handle these questions, we want to remember that we're not just representing ourselves, but we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's important. That's why our preparation is important. There are certain things. I think it's nice to wear a shirt and tie, but I don't wear dark pants and a white shirt and carry a briefcase when I go soul winning. Do you know why? Because those are Jehovah's Witnesses or a Mormon. I don't want to look like that. But I also don't wear tattered jeans and a sleeveless shirt or things. Why? Because I want to look sharp as best I can. You understand? So we do need to understand that we're representing something. So as we ask these questions, there's a good chance, there's a possibility that you might meet a belligerent person. A person that is against Christianity. You don't know that. There's no sign on the door that says that. So when you knock on the door and you say, hi, can I ask you a question? And they come back with a tough response. You know what? It's going to be important for you to try and get out of that conversation as politely and graciously as possible. Because you want to leave the door open for the next person. So number one question is, may I ask you a question? I know it's kind of funny because you just did, right? May I ask you a question? Yes. Oh, good. We're through number one. Because I just did ask you a question. But if they say, and we'll kind of follow these, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? Would you like to know for sure you will go to heaven when you die? And then the last one, would you allow me a few minutes to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you will go to heaven? These are important questions. Now, as we approach the door and we ask this, so there's multiple options for these questions. So, number one, may I ask you a question? So, there's two options, right? What are the options? Yes or no? These are not, what is your favorite color? These are yes or no questions. Easy answers. Sorry. Easy answers. Kind of. Because someone might, so the hopeful answer is yes. May I ask you a question? Anybody like to read? Any readers? Anybody ever read this book? It's called The Garden of Virtues. Ready? Brother Sutliff, you're going to like this. A bouquet of stories about timeless virtues. Would you like to read this book? No! You're going to pass on this book?
Sure.
Yeah. What do you think? Is this a book that's on your shelf, brother? Maybe in your office? A Garden of Virtues, a bouquet of stories. And we look at stories about timeless virtues. And I bet it's a good book. But a lot of times we make decisions by what we see. Because that book is not really the book, The Garden of Virtues. It's 41, The Portrait of My Father, written by George W. Bush about his dad. An excellent book. And we look at something on the outside and go, oh, I know you. We get to the first one and there's the guy with four studs through his lip, earlobes hanging to his, inked up to his neck, and go, oh boy, here we go. And your, how you ask this question, and you judge it by what you see. And we're real good at doing that, and we have to be careful about that. Because that person's a soul just like you and me. Or we answer the door and there's someone standing with a shirt and tie and go, oh man, they're an intellect. I'm going to have a rough go. And they could be as dumb as a box of rocks. Be careful. Be careful that you're polite and gracious to everybody. Regardless of who answers the door. Maybe you get up to the door and all of a sudden you, oh, I smell garlic. Must be an Italian family. Right? Oh, they're going to be Catholic. This is going to be a hard door. And we make these presuppositions about the people that are going to answer the door. We're judging the book by the cover rather than getting into an honest conversation. Be careful that we not do that. So when I ask this question, may I ask you a question? The first option is yes. And then thankfully we would be able to go to question number two. But what happens if someone says no? Well, we're going to try to end the conversation as, again, politely as possible. Maybe even leaving the door open to come back. Because they might tell you why not. Can I ask you a question? No, actually, we're just heading out. I'm sorry, we have an appointment in a half hour on the other side of town. Oh, is it okay if I come back another time? Sure, that would be fine. Great, thank you. Or, no, I'm really not interested in that today. We had a young man come to our door the other day, and he was trying to sell us those books I told you about. I knew what he was selling. I just didn't want it, you know. And I tried to be polite as I could. And again, send him over to the Jabisky's house and just, hey, get out of here. And I got a family that loves to read. Here, go see them. And Goldmine. But you got to be polite. Try and leave them with a track. All right, hey, I appreciate that. No problem. I hope you have a great day. Here, can I just leave you with something to read? Just an invitation to church. That's if they say no. But if they say yes, you can ask this question. Well, sure, go ahead. Can I ask you a question? Sure. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? Now we have two options to that answer. Yes, I am 100% sure. To which then it should bring another question to us before we get to this. Because if someone says yes, you know what? Some people think they're going to heaven, and I usually say, man, that's awesome. That's great. Usually, if you use the phrase, are you 100% sure, that weeds out some of the ones that have false salvation. But if you talk to someone and say, yes, I am 100% for sure. Well, can you tell me how you know for sure? If you were standing before God, what would you tell God that you, by what you are qualified to get into heaven? Well, you know what? We gave a lot to our church and we did this and we're part of the... And you'll hear things like that. Listen. Listen to them. Listen to what they have to say. Because you will find what they rest their salvation on. Remember we had those two ladies here last week? Remember them? They were... Where's Haley? Haley brought them. Right? Kind of. Haley invited them. Or not even. You met them at Chick-fil-A, and then they kind of invited themselves to this church, maybe with your hand. So after talking with them for a few minutes, I just said, are you saved? Like, are you saved? And she goes, yes. I said, can you tell me how, because I asked that question. And how do you know? She says, well, I've been saved by the blood of Christ. It was his death, burial, and resurrection that saved me. Great. She goes, I am born again. Whew. She's using terms I know. But that's a good follow-up question. If you were standing before God and he said, tell me why you think you should enter heaven, what would you say? If they say yes to this. And then listen carefully. If their answer is biblically correct, shake hands, say, praise the Lord. Great. Where do you go to church? Well, we're not going to church anywhere, actually. We're new to there. Man, let me tell you about a church. There's this group in Brockport. No. Invite them, right? What happens if they say yes and they don't give you an answer? You could respond with something like, wouldn't it be sad or a tragedy for you to expect to go to heaven when you die and end up not going there? You know what? It's important to be sincere. It's important to not feel like you're selling something. You know, if a person says, if you ask this question, they say yes, and you come here and they say, well, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And they say no. Then you have to go to question number 3. Would you like to know for sure you'll go to heaven when you die? Would you like to know for sure? The wording for sure is important. If they say yes, then we can go right to question number 4. But what happens if they say no? Maybe they'll say something to this effect. No one can know for sure, right? Have you ever heard that before? You can't know for sure. But I can know for sure. Because 1 John chapter 5 tells me that I may know that I have eternal life. I don't have to worry about it every single day. Well, my church teaches something. Well, let's look at what the Bible says. It's important in soul winning, yes, to talk, but it's really important to listen. Because as you listen, you learn a lot about people. You know what? You're going to find a lot of people somewhere in their past, some experience happened that was negative from a church. A lot of people have a great disdain, not for God, but for church, the entity of church. Yeah, my aunt's church stole $10,000 from her. I had to run him out of town. Oh, that pastor. Oh, I knew a pastor once. He did this and that and that. He brought a shame and a reproach upon Christianity. Those are difficult things to overcome because there's a bit of an edge or bitterness in their heart that we got to work through and show them the love of Christ. If we get to question 4, would you allow me a few minutes to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you will go to heaven? I asked this question, I think, a couple weeks ago, but if someone came up to you and said, what must I do to be saved? Could you lead them? Could you show them? It's kind of like, can you make the throw from shortstop to first or third to first? I don't know. I've never tried. We'll talk about that at the end of tonight. But would you allow me a few minutes to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you'll go to heaven? If you get to that question and they say, yes, I have a few minutes, then this is important. Be considerate of their time. Don't tell them everything you've ever heard or known. You will get quite excited. I don't usually get to this question with a yes. And if someone gets to that point and says, you know, no. I mean, you're getting excited and all of a sudden you get to question number 4. Would you allow me a few minutes? No, not today. All right. Again, we're going to be polite. And ask the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and give us discernment of how to close out that question and that conversation. Offer a person the gospel tract and try and make an arrangement to come back one day. As we're asking these questions, we do need to be prepared to answer all different kinds of responses. In question 2, if we were to die today, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? Or number 3, Would you like to know for sure you will go to heaven when you die? Here's some answers that you might get. I think I am good enough to go to heaven. You think so? We have to be very careful not to be sarcastic. Oh, you think so? You think you're good enough to go to heaven? Be careful with that. I think I am just as good as you are. I've never done anything really bad. I'm basically a pretty good person. You know what? Most people view themselves as good. Most people do. Then again, you'll meet the person that views themselves not good enough ever to have salvation. Buddy, you don't know what I've done. God doesn't want me. And you'll hear things like that. I do the best I can. I do a lot of good things for others. I go to church. I'm involved in this. I teach this. If I live right and work hard, I think God will accept me. And you'll hear things just like that. We need to lovingly inform the lost person that according to the Bible, trying to be good or doing good works is not the way to heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, right? For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you allow me to show you from the Bible that there is only one way to heaven? You know, some people are very attached to the world. I remember the young lady, she was over at one of those apartments on just west of the college there. Bob, what are the apartments west of the college a little bit? It's that, what is it? No. Viking. It's right off of Redmond Road. You turn off of Redmond, make a left, and they're on the right-hand side. I don't know. I was at this, what is it? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm standing there, I'm talking to this girl, and she's like, I need to be saved, but I just don't want, I know what it would take to be saved, and I don't want to give up what I'm doing. I'll come see you when I'm done. She was honest. Because she knew what it meant to be a Christian. It meant repentance and forsaking. And she loved her sin more than she saw her need to be saved. I hope that young lady has time to turn around. I don't want to lose my friends. I don't want anyone in my family to be upset with me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says what? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I already know what I want to do with my life. I don't need Jesus. I want to be rich. I've heard that. Here's another very common response, and I hear it more and more. God is loving and kind, and He would never send anyone to hell. I hear it. It's not true. Again, when a person thinks like that, we have to lovingly and carefully show them from the Scriptures what the Bible says. How would you answer that? How would you answer someone that says, God is loving and kind and He would never send anyone to hell? Those are tough questions, right? You got to be able to, you got to have some understanding of the Scriptures. You got to know where to go to talk about hell. You got to be able to show what hell really is. You got to show what Christ did on the cross. When we ask this last question, would you allow me a few minutes to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you'll go to heaven? Some of the responses is, I don't have time, maybe some other time. I have too much on my mind right now. A lot of people just give out answers just to get you away from the door. My dad had a young man come to his door this past week. He was just telling us about it today, trying to save the seals. He's like, every year some group comes and they're trying to... And he told us his witty response and we laughed at the table. But if someone answers, I'm sorry, I don't have time right now, maybe some other time. Could you compassionately and sincerely say, you might not have another time? That's where the Holy Spirit of God needs to be able to be. That's why that preparation's important. Because the Holy Spirit's at work behind all of that. That whole conversation that you're having at that time, God is working in that person's heart. And he might say, Nick, that's enough, back away. Or he might say, hey, press that, don't let that go. And you need to be spiritually, mentally, and physically prepared that when the Lord talks to you, you hear it. There's times when you are standing at the door and God says, that's enough, back up. And there's times when, hey, he's trying to blow you off, push it a little bit further. I have too much on my mind right now. I'll think about it and I'll let you know later. I think I still have plenty of time. Maybe I'll think about heaven when I'm older. I'm just not ready yet. Again, we do not get in arguments. And we always need to be considerate, courteous, gracious, but also open to the leading of the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. I feel like the world is training a generation to be offended. And it's important to be able to discuss and be able to communicate. And we need to be careful that we not fall prey to the very thing. You know what? Some people in these conversations might say some really hurtful things. Maybe even about our church. 25 years ago I went there. Let me tell you what happened. You might just have to take it and eat it. Be careful not to be easily offended or take it personally. You know, you don't know what people are going through. They might come out and be bold and say, I hate God. This is what he did to me. And he gives you a list of things. She gives you a list of things. Got to be careful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says this. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You understand that as you're going door to door and talking to somebody, you know what? It might have been maybe this person ran into that person and then there was this person and now you're next in line and what you're just doing is setting it up for the next person. But inevitably, God is the one that is glorified. Lord gives us not just an opportunity, the privilege to be able to plant seed for eternity. When we see soul winning as not a duty or a demand, but as a privilege, it changes our approach to it. Hey, we get to go tell people about the Lord. We get to go be a blessing and try. You know, this morning we talked about that little maid, right? That little maid that got to be a help to Naaman. Hey, let me tell you about a guy that can help you. Naaman was aware of his sin. Naaman was aware of his leprosy. When we go door to door, people are aware of their sin. What's going to be important for us is to practice. So maybe this week, I'm going to give you some homework. Optional homework. You will not be tested on it. But try this. Sit down with your family and have them, or you give them your testimony about how you got saved. Next week, maybe we'll practice leading our family members to the Lord. Easiest people to lead to the Lord are saved people. It's easy because they know the right terms and they usually work with you pretty good. But practice. Here you are and you're talking to someone. What good has Jesus ever done for anybody? Let me tell you. Let me tell you what he did for me. He changed my life. I was 10 and my house was split. My mom, I was living with my mom. My dad lived across town and we were a mess. One day someone told me about Christ. He died on the cross to save my soul. I bowed my head right in my bedroom. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. That's not hard. If you go to tell someone about... If you're sitting in a group of people, okay, how'd you get saved? And how'd you get saved? And all of a sudden it's your turn and you don't know. Ask for help. Hey, I'm not sure. I don't know 100% for sure. Well, maybe that's an opportunity in our families. It's good for our young people to know our testimonies. So this week, maybe you work on your testimony. Now, dads, you don't have to do 45-minute message about how you got saved, all right? Spare your kids a little time. Take 5 minutes and tell them. Moms are long-winded too. Man, my mom, she could tell a story. We'd be there for days. Work on sharing your testimony. It's practice. It's not just talking about doing something. It's not just talking about something. It's actually doing it. Mark down these questions. May I ask you a question? If it's no, then we stop there. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? No, I don't know that. Well, would you like to know for sure you will go to heaven when you die? Yes. Would you allow me a few minutes? See that? Few minutes. We're not preaching 45-minute... I mean, if the Lord allows... Or just sharing the gospel. Okay, let's use these questions. Say, when can I use those? Any day, every day. Let's all stand.